Had a little listen to his podcast, huh?
Dude, it's educational. And besides, I've been wanting to listen to this one.
Welcome to Idling in the Impala, a podcast by and for lovers of supernatural and the fanfiction it inspires. I'm Casey.
I'm Sandra, and it's taken the converging of two supernatural podcasts, but we've finally done it. We've got a Sam-focused topic up for discussion on this episode. We want to welcome the hosts of Supernatural Opinions podcast, KJ and Meredith. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Welcome
for having us.
For our listeners who may have missed the last time you were on with us, KJ, can you introduce yourself and provide some details about your podcasts, plural?
Yeah, oh, God. Hi, I am KJ, and my pronouns are they, them, and she, her. And I am one of the hosts of Supernatural Opinions. We're recapping Supernatural and also having discussion episodes. I also hosted a Winchester's podcast when the Winchester's was on called Wayward Parents. By the time that this comes out, honestly, don't know how quick your turnaround time is. I could have two more podcasts. Not I have some projects in the works right now.
Gotcha. Meredith, it's your first time in the backseat with us. And we just found out first time on another podcast. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about you?
All right. So I am the other host of Supernatural Opinions. My pronouns are she, her. And honestly, I don't really do a lot with Supernatural outside of this. Most of the time I write and draw for my original stories. And I don't have any other podcasts.
Okay. Keeps that mythology train running on Supernatural Opinions. Like all of that.
Explain that part a little bit. What is that part of it that you guys do?
So at the end of the episode, we discuss some of the like history or mythology that might have inspired the monsters in each episode.
Okay.
And I've been interested in mythology since I was very little, and I have 3 years of a history degree under my belt. I haven't finished the degree.
Okay.
But
if we ever need some info, we can give you a buzz and say, Meredith, can you tell us a little bit about this?
purely me like being a nerd and like inflicting my interests on KJ's interests.
Oh, that works. Yeah. Hey,
that works.
Like low-key into mythology, but I do not have I have so many other things to do to keep the podcast running that like honestly, I'm like, oh, we don't need to do mythology this week. And then like Meredith's like, no, I got stuff. And I'm like, oh, great, Meredith got stuff. And
that's
it's always
stuff.
So interesting and better research than I would do. Like I would just like check Wikipedia and be done with my day.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Meredith is really good at it.
Most of the time I do like check Wikipedia and a few other things.
It's a good starting point.
It helps that I already have like a pretty like basic base knowledge for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's two kitties. I have to make sure they don't fight.
Was there one in particular that you researched that you really liked an episode?
I think KJ will tell you that I was waiting for the Changeling episode for a really long time.
Okay.
I love
just the whole myth of the Changeling. I think it's really interesting. And I wrote an essay on it in one of my classes. And I like fairies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things about mythology and like folklore in general is just how it intersects with daily life. And the Changeling is a really good example of that.
Awesome. Oh, cool. Oh, just before
I listen to that episode.
Yes. But just before Sandra carries on with her expertly scripted intro, it's because it's scripted. I don't script it, she scripts. So, KJ, you've been on before and you've declared your allegiance. We have a little table. And I don't like defining it as Team Sam and Team Dean because that implies conflict and I don't want any. But, KJ, we have your allegiance down as hashtag Sam. So
it's hard to deny that allegation.
Yeah. Meredith, do you have an allegiance? Are you more down the middle? Where can I put your ex? I want to remind you that the scales are heavily balanced in Dean's favor, and he's a real big moose. So I'm glad to have KJ with me to help hold him up, but I'm not trying to influence your decision in any way. I'm just saying.
I do like Sam better.
Woo!
There we go.
Dean does have a lot of really cool stuff, and I do try to be fair because I know I'm a little biased, but I just like characters like Sam a lot.
Good.
Yes, no, that is good. What we like to hear.
See, I knew this was going to be a good episode. This was going to be a good episode.
Dean, it's still just out of interest for guests, listeners, Sandra. Dean is still almost twice as many as Sam.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like the conflict of Team Sam versus Team Dean either, because like nobody likes Sam and Dean more than the other one.
Yeah.
No. I think I might change it to like, who's your blobbo? You know? Yeah. So something like that. I don't like the conflict that it implies, but also people do tend to have a favorite brother, you know.
But it's fun though, Casey. You get enjoyment.
And if I close the door, the cat opened it.
Oh no. Well, you don't see, if I don't, like, I don't have enough things to beat Sandra.
It is the natural.
So,
like, it is the natural, like, allegiance of, like, Team Sam versus Team Dean. Like, that is just how fandoms always kind of aligned itself.
Yeah. But I think it's a great thing, too, because, like, I think we were talking a little bit on the episode we just did with you, is that we find certain things out more about each other's favorite character that I think gives us more to, I think, love and enjoy about them collectively. So I feel like it works out. It's
sometimes
definitely worked out really well.
I find Dean's choices really annoying because I am so focused on what Sam's thinking. And then if I think about, oh, like, what's Dean's perspective on this actually? I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I understand why he did that thing that I didn't understand. And I think the same can go for people who are Team Dean, especially because like Dean is so often used like as part of the narrative. You know, especially like post season 4, like we have to learn things as Dean is learning them because Sam already knows things and we can't know those things yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really hard to not understand his perspective because we're learning things as he's learning them.
So now that we've got that figured out.
Back on the train.
We just finished a great discussion about Sam for your podcast. And then probably, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but we all sat down and chatted about the season 4 episode, I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was very, I felt like Sam heavy, Sam likes the plot and all that
stuff. We learned a lot of things about Sam.
We learned a lot about Sam. So we enjoyed the conversation so much. And I think it was actually towards the end of that we were finishing and it felt like Sam love was just flowing. And somebody said something that we were talking about Sam Winchester's sexuality. So Casey and I have discussed this in an episode called What's Love Got to Do With It. It was our Valentine's Day episode last year. And we sort of came up with the decision about, I guess, Sam in our minds that he was demisexual. And, you know, we've got a definition with individuals that do not experience primary sexual attraction, but may experience secondary sexual attraction after a close emotional connection has already formed. But then we actually heard from, I think, I don't know if it was both of you or what, but like the fact that your viewpoint is Ace Sam. Like we wanted to have an Ace Sam discussion. This is when my introduction is now done and I hop it over to Casey. Who takes
you see what I have to work with people. So just I'm assuming that you guys probably haven't listened to that episode because KJ doesn't have time to listen to any podcast. She's too busy making her own podcast.
Yes.
It's
Meredith has healthy outlets. So
non-supernatural outlets.
It's a real
not sure how healthy they are.
Honestly. Because the last time that I was here, we talked about how I, once you have one podcast, you want to start more.
That was the episode title.
That was
once you have
the
one.
Title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That I was on last. And about 60 seconds after roping someone into doing a podcast, I was like, hey, I know I just roped you into a podcast 60 seconds ago, but wouldn't it be funny if we did this? And that person didn't say, okay, Jay, like we have so many podcasts between us. When we have time for that, they went, that's a really good idea. And then next thing I knew, there was a Google Doc. And now I've got a new upcoming project.
Oh,
it's not my fault. I expect people to say no. It's not my fault when people don't say no to my ideas.
It's the ADHD. You're addicted to novelty.
Things. Chasing
I'm
the
really
dopamine.
Good at coming up with ideas for podcasts. And I just expect people to say, oh no, we don't have time to do that. And I just go, yeah, you're right. And I move on.
Yeah.
That's when I make friends who also have the same problem and they go, that's a great idea. Let's do it.
I have the same problem with story ideas, but the difference is I'm the only one involved in those.
Yeah. So you're limited by your own time management.
Yeah. No, if I could have like another copy of myself to be an assistant, that'd be great. But there are big issues, so
yeah.
Maybe it's good there isn't one.
I found that having a Google Doc where you get to go, oh my god, what if we did this? And you get all the but what if we did this out? And then you can move on with your life, and then someone else comes in, or you come back in and you go, no, that's stupid. Let's not do that.
I didn't have that, but this one I chose to share.
Well. Also, all that to say that KJ and Meredith probably haven't listened to our Valentine's Day episode from last year.
Yes. Yeah, so apologies if we cover anything that was covered in that episode.
That's fine. It's fine. But just to recap for any listeners out there that also might not have listened, why haven't you listened? Why are you starting this late in the season? Come on now, season 3. Get back there. Start from the beginning. But this was my thing. This was not Sandra's thing. I was just like, I think seeing Dean and Sam are like this. And she was like, let's talk about it. And I was like, no, that involves research. Let's not do that. But when you compare Dean's sort of romantic life, sexual life to Sam's romantic sexual life, I made an argument that Dean could be considered, and this is all just speculation, I'm not laying down any hard rules, but I think Dean could be aromantic, and that he's fine with sexual relationships, but actually being in a romantic relationship with someone is, you know, like romantic attraction, romantic love, it's not something that he experiences, or he experiences a very limited version of it, because it's all a spectrum. And for Sam, I landed on him being sort of like demisexual, that yes, there is a sexual interest, but he needs a stronger connection with someone, because we so very rarely see Sam having any one night stands, even though they're, you know, perpetually on the road. He seems to not engage with that, very opposite to how Dean constantly engages with that. So that was kind of where we'd left off with my terribly researched Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah,
Then we spoke to you guys, and an argument was made about Sam, and I was like, fucking tell me more. I would like, tell me about this. So in very much the vein of Sandra, this was your idea, guys. Tell us about it. Tell me about it.
I feel like one thing I should say right out of the gate is that I identify as asexual. So a lot of my knowledge and feelings are based on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have done a lot of
firsthand experience.
I've also done like a lot of research on like other asexual perspectives and other, it's a spectrum. And so is being aromantic. So I've done a little bit more research on that too.
Mm-hmm. This, for me, obviously came from having Meredith's perspective on the sexual relationships as they're depicted in the show, which the show, it's all over the place, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible with what it thinks is going on.
Terrible.
Consistency is not key in Supernatural, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But for me, I literally pulled my notes from when we covered season 1, episode 16, Shadow, because apparently in that episode, I was like, here is my whole theory. I don't know why.
Awesome.
Amazing.
But I literally control F'd in my notes, and I was like, whoa, here's the... That was the episode where Dean and Meg met for the first time, and Dean was like really on Sam's back about him and Meg being together, even though Sam and Meg were just like, hey, we met at a bus stop one time. And like, that was it. That was the whole context for their interaction. And Dean was like really bothering him. And I was like, oh, I'm done with this. I laid out this whole thing and like why Dean is so invested in Sam's sexuality in that episode. But I viewed Dean in that like bisexual, pansexual kind of vein, but he is performing his sexuality as straight primarily for John, but also for Sam. And, you know, just to, you know, himself, honestly, I don't think he's ready to really be super honest with himself about it. But I think he's also trying to get Sam to perform his sexuality. So Sam's not super interested in that. He is somewhere in that ace spectrum, maybe more towards demisexual or gray ace. Definitely seems like a preference for women. It doesn't really matter. But like Dean is trying to get Sam to express interest so that Sam appears straight, because they're both got this weird hyper-masculine, toxic masculinity thing going after being raised by John Winchester.
I think, I'm pretty sure this is something that we covered in our episode, but I think Dean wears his sexuality almost as like an armor.
Yeah.
To, you know, he very much hides behind that and he's very much like, you know, it's a protection. It can get him out of awkward situations. It can get him information. And he very much
definitely.
He wears that as a front. And I
look
think
at me, look at, I'm definitely straight. Look at all these women I'm with.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm over here going, I see you.
Eyeballing. I think Dean's turning around. He's seeing Sam not doing that, and I think he's concerned. I don't think he means to be pushy with Sam about Sam's sexuality, but I think he sees that Sam doesn't do that, and he doesn't know how to handle that.
He needs an answer, right? Like, he just
I think he worries honestly that Sam might not be straight, and he's like, you need to display that you're straight, and like.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that, like, not having a ton of sexual partners as a man is actually something really common, and it can happen with any man of any sexuality. But I think in this particular world that they inhabit, it's normal to, well, have a girl at every harbor to kind of refer to them as sailors.
Yeah.
And so not doing that makes you a little different.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I think Dean, like, in line with what you said, KJ, Sam's got the hair and he's got he doesn't have the same kind of feminine pretty face that Dean has, but he's still got a pretty fucking face, you know? So Dean's like, come on, chase my skirt, please.
Yeah.
You're making us look bad, you know?
Show us how straight we both are.
Yeah.
And I like this quote unquote body count is... I don't know. It's another part of like the toxic masculinity. This is how they show that they're masculine.
Yeah. Hmm. And I think it is all part of like playing to what John expects from them, because that is what John expects them to be doing. And like Dean's whole role in the family is to smooth the family relationship. So if John expects them to behave in a certain way, then it's Dean's job to make sure that Sam behaves that way so that everything is good. Be it everybody's got to be happy to be hunting, or everybody's got to be picking up girls in every town they go through. Like, that's the expectation, and not doing that could cause a fight. And so Dean's got to make sure that everybody is doing their part to tread lightly.
I think a lot of it just becomes so performative for both of them too. And it makes me think a lot about when Sam left, you know, and then like, I don't know how long it was before he met Jess, but then again, like, was like, I don't believe he did not care for and love Jess. But then was that a part of his whole imagining what this life needs to, you know, needs look to be like, and how it has to continue to evolve. And I need these things in order to fit into what this environment is.
You meet a girl, you get married, you have a house and a career and a picket fence and a dog and.
That's entirely valid, and it has more to do with performing, less to do with covering up the fact that you could be ace, and more to do with like trying to fit into a different world.
I think it's worth drawing attention to the very few scenes that we see younger Sam. And some sort of like comments from Dean about like, you know, Sam's like, what was it? His prom date for something that Dean hooked up with. That might have been the fanfic.
Hooked up with his.
Is that canon? Cool. Yeah. I get confused. But I think we saw from the glimpses that we saw like quite a normal teenage boy development of being interested in girls and, you know, like calling his brother for advice and things like that, and the whole thing with Amy, which we just discussed, which was not Sam's fault, by the way, and we will hear nothing else against that. If you want more information on that, please go listen to Supernatural Opinions podcast, where we defend Sam Winchester.
Vehemently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yelling. I'm involved, so of course there's a lot of yelling. But, you know, he appears to be, I don't want to say developing normally, because I don't like the word normal, but alongside everyone else when it comes to, you know, like feelings about girls and romantic feelings and things like that. And then, although you can absolutely say that Jess could just be another part of him trying to fit into a white picket fence world, you could equally say that he loves her like, any like just like a cishet man loves a cishet woman, you know, like there's no underlying sexuality other than just being cis and heterosexual, you know? But it only seems to be after Jess, for me personally, that those doubts start to come in about, oh, is he? You know, because he so very rarely hooks up. And, you know, so my question that I always come back to is, was he always potentially on the ace spectrum or demisexual or gray, or is it a trauma response? And I just want to say here that sexualities do not always have to be a trauma response, but your sexuality can change as a result of a trauma response. That's just disclaimers.
So I would say that both are possible.
Yeah.
In my case, actually, like my asexuality doesn't really look that different from like the people around me.
Mm.
And it is entirely possible that you can still like feel like very intense romantic attraction, and because of cultural expectations you can assume that it is the same thing as sexual attraction, and just assume that this is the thing you do in a relationship. And a lot of ace people do like enjoy having sex, they just don't necessarily feel the urge to do it.
Yeah
So maybe his habits could have changed after Jess died, but he could have been ace the entire time.
Being 15 years old is a performance, regardless of sexuality.
100%.
Especially when it comes to relationships, and like, you're like, oh, a girl is talking to me, therefore I am expected to feel things and I am expected to do things with that like shared space, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, to this day, I question exactly how many of my crushes were actually like a result of me being attracted to someone, or just feeling like, oh, this has quality. This person has qualities I like.
This person,
maybe yeah. I will like decide to like them.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah. Being a teenager is a nightmare for everybody. Everybody's confused. Everybody's got weird hormones happening. Everybody's got weird societal pressures.
But that doesn't get any better no matter how old you get. I mean, that's what I'm learning.
It's very I feel like it's very intense when you're 15, like yeah. You're especially if you're going to school, like you're not being homeschooled or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Like if you're in school, like your peers,
it's just all there. Yeah.
Hanging out with a girl and you're like a 15-year-old boy, they just assume that you like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also as well, Sam's constant changing of schools and lack of stability probably makes him very keen to, you know, appear to fit
with
in.
Anybody who cares.
Yeah, just send anybody who will be nice. Oh, I made myself sad. Now I made myself sad thinking about poor 15-year-old Sam Winchester just trying to live his life.
Like, it's natural that he might want like a very strong connection with someone and want a connection that's different from what he has with Dean.
Yeah, I think, and I think there is a lot of evidence of Sam searching out those, like that kind of relationship, like Jess, Amelia, Eileen.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sam is looking for like longer term partners for the most part.
Yeah.
Versus Dean is looking for a one night stand to prove that he's still got it.
Yeah. that does Dean a disservice. I think he's more just like he wants the instant gratification of someone wants him now. He's useful now. You know, whereas Sam's.
Dean, not to speculate too much on Dean's performance, but I feel like Dean's a pretty generous lover. Like, I feel like he gets a lot. He gets as much as he gives.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
From the experience.
Is anybody questioning that in the fandom? Is anyone like, no, Dean sucks in bed. He's rubbish.
I don't know. I feel like the show kind of proves otherwise.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like, you know, like, Sam is looking for like an emotional closeness along with that for a lot of his hookups, even the shorter term hookups. He is looking for some sort of emotional output as well, whereas Dean is like, we are going to gratify each other and it's gonna be good.
Yeah. And then just to come along and throw a massive spanner in the works, that's an inside reference, Sandra knows what I mean, spanner. There along comes Piper in season 13, yes. Which is nothing more than just a hookup. And he even says afterwards, I needed that. And I'm like, could you just consistency, please? Pick one.
I would love to have more. Obviously, like the format of Baby is that it stays inside the car. But I feel like, yeah, I could have used some more context into what happened.
Mm-hmm. And surely it would have. I mean, you couldn't have written Baby the other way, because there's no way Sam would be coming out of a roadhouse at dawn and to discover Dean in the backseat. You couldn't have done that. But it would have made much more sense if you had to have someone fucking in the backseat for it to be Dean. He would have even fit in the footwell where they tried to tell us Sam was.
Well, again, and then it didn't Sam like, again, and a lot of this, I feel that you just kind of, sometimes you just do what you think should. Sam seems like the guy that I'm doing sometimes what I think I should be doing. And he even says, like, you know, I wanted to get her number, but she didn't want to give it to me. And so, you know, like different things like that. So I almost feel that there's this, I feel Sam holds this expectation on himself really. It's a different weight, I think, than Dean holds on him. And it's what do I need to, what's the right thing to do in all of the situations where Dean's just like, sometimes, you know, I just, like you said, I just want to have fun. I want to enjoy the moment because I don't know what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow, whatever, where I think Sam's very like, not as compartmentalizing maybe as Dean can sometimes be. Dean has a better ability at that, I think, than Sam does sometimes.
Sam, like, actively holds himself back from even searching out those kinds of connections sometimes because he knows they're not going to be around. They're going to the next town. They're going to move. They're going to be on the road. Everybody that that gets to know them dies, so there's no point.
Whereas
Dean is like, this is going to be good for a little while, and then I'm going to move on, and it's going to be fine for us both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to get too tragic up in here. We all ignore the season finale, but I think Dean's a little bit more, we've only got tonight, you know, this is it, we've only got now. Whereas Sam's like, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, I will get out of this and I will have my life.
I can prepare for the future.
He's looking for an emotional connection in order to feel attraction, then, like, if there isn't ever time for him to make that kind of bond, then he's just not going to engage in that kind of bond. Like,
No,
very sad for him.
Awesome.
And plus, then there's always the running joke too, you know, that, it has to weigh on him, you know, I mean, like, Dean's like, you know, everybody you end up sleeping with ends up dead, or like, you don't have a good track record or whatever.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, and like, there's no way that doesn't bother him. Yeah.
That bothers him. Like, when he meets Sarah, he's like, I kind of think everybody who I care about just dies. And
We
all turn into a bit of a joke, but I think that's just because the fandom needs to cope with it.
Because it is very sad, but also it's at this much of a pattern, it's comical at this point.
I mean, we've got Jess, and that wasn't his fault, and then we've got Madison, and that wasn't his fault either, and then I suppose an argument could be made for Ruby, but that also wasn't his fault. The doctor lived from sex and violence. She was okay.
She was also just kind of a hookup. Like, they kind of, but they kind of vibed for a bit first. Like, they definitely like felt something. They vibed.
They vibed. And then, I mean, we assume Amelia's okay. Did Piper make it out of baby okay?
Yeah. Dean sent her packing and seems like, and left her in the parking lot, but it seems like she worked there. So her car was probably there.
Yeah. One thing that is, we have speculated here, and it's absolutely nothing to do with Ace Sam, is when Dean is walking away, when he goes, I'll leave you two, I'll just not be here, and he's walking away, he looks through the back window and he kind of like looks the back seat of the car up and down and smirks before he leaves. So do you think he's team appraising Sam's girl to see if he thinks she's worthy of his brother, or checking the upholstery for stains? Which one do you think it is?
We do get to confirm that Sam did lay a blanket down, like a gentleman.
I would check the upholstery for stains. It's gross.
Probably a bit of both. Stains are gross. And, you know, I'm sure the blanket's in the car pretty much for that exact reason. Also, the fact that they sleep in the car later in the episode.
Oh, can you imagine how gross the blanket must be, though? Oh, yuck, trunk blanket. How fancy.
This is why I'm sex repulsed. There's no redeeming quality here.
It does seem a bit messy.
Yeah.
And like, the car is so small, like the two of them barely fit in the car, and then like you're doing like positions and like there's a person, like just, it's so just
cramped,
seems, like,
that would be.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the beauties of fan fiction. Like, I mean, I've said to Casey plenty of times, like, there's stuff that I love writing about, but like, I'm just thinking, this is such a mess.
Yeah, that would be really uncomfortable.
I've written fanfic that has Sam having sex with a girl in the back of the Impala.
Yeah.
And all the time I was writing it, I was like, this would be horrific. This would be horrendous. Like, you'd be banging your head. Like, there'd be windows.
Elbows, everything.
Dean and Anna make it look very sexy, but that's not how it goes in real life.
I would argue Dean's back is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Jensen's back is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Yeah,
I think the only reason to ever have sex in a car is because you have no other options.
You could have sex on the car.
I guess you just really need to do it.
You could have sex on the car, and that would be preferable to in the back seat, I think.
Yeah, either that or outside where the bugs are. Private,
honestly. Because, like, okay, so we have the doctor and Piper. The only other time Sam has, like, casual hookups is when he is soulless. And that is kind of
that doesn't count. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that being soulless, if you can't dream and you can't sleep, I do think your sexuality, very fair to be affected.
Yeah, I like that. Because, like, I don't know, I have some reservations about, like, possibly ace characters and how their sexuality changes occasionally when their circumstances change. And I don't always like that. Is it just,
Yeah, it's, like, it's fine to say that things are, like, fluid, but there's a limit to that fluidity as well.
Yeah, because especially because in representation.
Especially because this is a TV show and asexuality and aromanticism are both underrepresented and often misunderstood, especially like on TV and in daily life. So if you ever make the decision, because I don't think they were doing this on purpose, if you ever make the decision to have an aspec character, you have to be careful.
Well, I mean, again, not to pull too far away from Sam, but I think the intent, or certainly my interpretation of Castiel when we first saw him, was probably on that spectrum. He was, not a human in any capacity. And the argument always seems to be around Castiel's sexuality. And I'm like, is he gay? Is he bi? And I'm like, but we could look at this differently, because is he even sexually attracted? But then obviously they hooked him up with a girl. Because gays, motherfuckers.
I was so mad because there was a time where he was human for a bit, right? And then the implication I saw was that sexual attraction is a necessary part of being human. And if you aren't human, then naturally you have the option to not feel it. But the second you become human, this is part of your biology and you have no other options.
Why Meg Steele is cute, to be really honest.
I shit Meg Steele so hard.
It's really cute, and I can't wait till we get there. A, because I miss Meg. It's been so long. We're still covering season 4, so we haven't had Meg in like a hot minute, but she's coming back. We're almost there.
I miss Meg.
Do you also think, like, with Cass, it ends up being too, like, almost like mimicking Dean? Like, in a way, like, well, this is like how, you know, I think it
Cass
would,
has
it
learned
should
everything
go.
He knows about humanity from Sam or Dean. He does tend to lean more towards Dean, which makes sense because they have a closer relationship.
Profound bond.
Yeah, that's always been I've always kind of like tried to wrap my head around Cass too. It's like because he's taking all these different things, and I personally, and I know we're getting a little off track, but I do not like the fact that they gave him all of the information, like that info dump from, I think, like, how far are you, Meredith? Have you gone through almost all of it?
I've gone to like the end of season 12, but also I don't really care about spoilers at
this point. No. It's just, I think it's like season 10 or whatever, and I think it's when Megatron.
It's in the Metatron.
Megatron just like touches him, and all of a sudden he knows all this pop culture, all this stuff, all these different things. And I don't know, I kind of felt like that took something away from the character, the learning, like what he would learn, you know, on his own, or like the things he would get or wouldn't get and stuff like that. So yeah, it's, I think they take a lot of liberty with all of the characters too. And I think that depends on who's writing, you know, them. And I know that a certain episodes, I think. So that's the thing. Like, I don't know if there was ever a certain writer that you could say really got to just take over Sam, you know, or take over Dean, where I know a lot of the other supporting characters sort of got like a writer that would take over some of like their, like Robbie Thompson did, I think, Charlie, right? Like a lot of Charlie's episodes. Yeah. And Barron's did, I think, a lot of like Cass. You know, Cass heavy
Bobo
episodes.
Really carried Cass, especially with the like season, like the end seasons into the confession, like into the end of the show. Like that is, a lot of that is Bobo.
And I just think we don't really get that with and again, I think that's because of showrunners passing it on because the show was on for so long. And I think there's a big change in, you know, maybe the original Sam that we get. And
yeah,
then, like,
I don't
the
think that
ones,
Kripke
yeah.
or Gamble ever really, like, back in season one was like, yeah, Dean and Sam aren't necessarily, like, heterosexual. Mm-hmm. I think that obviously they viewed them as heterosexual, but over mm-hmm. time, things mm-hmm. kind of happen.
Things change.
Characters evolve.
yeah.
Like, characters develop.
Yeah.
And, like, but, it is... Well, they're both, when we first meet them, they're both in their early 20s. And it yeah. is, that's actually a very common period to mm-hmm. learn more about yourself and your sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I didn't figure it out until I was 20.
yeah. I started questioning at 18, but mm-hmm. didn't really, because I didn't know what asexuality was before then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about
that's
it.
That's the other thing. Sam and Dean are they're millennials, like Gen X. They're not even, they're like Gen X.
They're me. Dean is me. Dean is
yeah,
me.
I was going to say, Dean isn't a millennial. Yeah, Sam yeah. might yeah. just be on the cusp of a millennial.
Yeah. So I think I get from at least their, like, what they're going through in that time period, that unless they're
language
searching it out.
Really evolved,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Unless they're searching yeah. it out, unless they get that openness of somebody, or I think what they get over time in the show, being shown different relationships and different characters and having conversations with them. I think Charlie's a big part of that. You know, I think, like, yes. you know, getting that connection, that relationship going. Even like Garth, you know what I mean? Like, it's like all these different people that you get to experience and deal with and see how they go through life in this hunting situation.
Yeah, Sam and Dean have been so isolated from other hunters, from normal people, from everybody. Like, they just have each other and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And the stamp of John, like you said.
Hashtag you know, like thank you, John Winchester. Yeah. You suck.
Yeah.
Also, if you go through life, like, this applies to anyone. If you go through life not really knowing that there are other options and just assuming mm-hmm. there is really only one way to be, then it won't really occur yeah. to you right. to sit down
that
and figure
not
out
everyone...
these feelings you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many people I know, like, know of come out as bi and then their mom is like, everybody feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
No. Nah, see the trick to that.
Everybody's a little bit attracted to everybody else.
The trick to that is to just never come out. Just never come out to blood family. Just keep it fucking shushed. Marry a man, nobody needs to know. That's the trick to getting around that one.
Oh goodness. Actually, a really common one in the ace community is like, yeah, I wondered if I was bi for a bit because I felt the same towards both genders and I realized that there was an absence.
Aww. It was the same as in feeling not a lot.
Feeling nothing, yeah. That must be quite strange to question. That came across really rude and I didn't mean it to, but just
I didn't really think it was rude. It was just
okay, good.
Yeah, it was a bit of a process.
Yeah, I've
gone down that path.
Well, I'm like completely the other way, and I identify as pansexual, and like I'm gonna be honest, not, like I'm doubting a little bit now, and I'm like, is it because I feel like I'm just like I describe it as being
or because you don't feel.
Yeah, I feel as if I describe it as I'm happy no matter what I find in someone's pants. Like, I have no preference whatsoever, like completely gender blind. And now I'm like, is it pansexual or is it because you just don't feel anything towards either of them? But it's okay because I have two children. So,
well, if you believe in like the split attraction model, like it being ace and pan is entirely possible.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I subscribe to the split.
Yeah, me too. It works well for me and in my entire worldview.
I don't think anyone gets to come along and put rules on what it is and how it should be. And certainly this podcast is not Carly Goes Through Therapy yet again with yet another gender or sexuality crisis. Good Lord, fucking stop it. You know? Like,
I love you. I'm here for it. It's fine. We got it.
No, I'll talk your ear off about that in private. And it'd be like, Sandra, I'm having another crisis. Fucking hell. The name change could be incoming.
Oh, goodness. No, I think one of the great things about these characters, too, is I've always felt like they kind of help you reflect and you get some mirroring. Sometimes, you know, you pull what you need out of certain characters, too. I think that's really great about Sam and Dean. both, like for different people. Like Casey and I have talked ad nauseum, you know, about how I really relate to Dean just on the familiar responsibility level and different things like that. And Casey could, you know, explain the Sam connection themselves. But I also find it so very sort of sad for both the boys that, you know, again, because they were so isolated, they did not get the experiences. And, you know, as, you know, I could say as a Gen X or myself, like as you're going through like generations and you're learning different things, you get to reflect more on yourself. I still feel that Dean, you know, if given a little more time, would be able to be comfortable with his own sexuality and be able to say,
yeah, he just doesn't have the tools.
Yeah. He doesn't have the, and I think he's just scared the same way that I think Sam is, you know, scared in how he'd be accepted, even though I feel like Sam is like, whatever, dude, like I'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But it's still scary even when you know it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably safe to say in this group, everybody's probably done a coming out once or twice.
Yes, and it's horrendous.
Even when you know it's going to be fine and whoever you're coming out to is going to love you no matter what, it's still scary. Mm-hmm. And
you don't know what kind of questions you're going to have to field.
Yeah.
You don't know if this is the end of your marriage because he said I do to a woman. And now you're like, hi, that's not me anymore. Sorry.
By the way, actually turns out.
Yeah.
Funny story. Plot twist.
Yeah.
The label on the tin was a little bit incorrect.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, ideally, if we were going to like, I don't know, talk about like, what would we want for? What would we want for Sam? Like relationship wise, all those things.
I think that I would want him to have a romantic but not a sexual relationship, or like only a sexual as he's like super comfortable with, you know, like maybe the person he's with is not ace and still wants to have sex and Sam's just cool with that. Like
that's something Eileen I could fan, see.
And that really feels like Eileen's vibe, I'm not gonna lie.
I think so too. I think they had such a good connection, you know, to start like the friendship part of it that I think just kind of like blossomed. And I feel like she feels like she's a go with the flow, at least like in that situation area. Like I think she'd be okay.
And I feel like Sam is a person who could maybe use some physical intimacy, but it's not necessarily sexual intimacy. Hi, baby.
I went and acquired a cat. He's big mad. I'm fully agree with you about Sam needing physical intimacy, whether it doesn't have to be sexual, but he needs. Someone fucking cuddle that boy, chuckles. Jesus.
Give him hugs. And like I think that that's just something that like he hasn't had enough of growing up. It doesn't seem like that's really John or Dean's vibe, so he like just has been kind of deprived his whole life of like physical affection of any kind.
John Winchester band hugs.
He's touch starved.
yeah
that's it.
They both are too. In a way. And I feel like Dean's searches for that in different ways, you know, and Sam is just like, no, I need, you know what I mean? Like just Dean's like, I just need to get touched by somebody.
Like, reassurance, like, I don't know. Dean's not really good with words. We did a whole episode on love languages and like how Sam and Dean's kind of conflict sometimes and they're not good at giving each other what they need, like emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sam needs reassurance that he's cared for and that he's not bad. He's not a bad human being.
Now
we're all sad for Sam again.
It was gonna happen. You invite me and I'll make you sad about Sam. It's just kind of
that. Get out. That's my job. I make everyone sad about Sam.
I'm also gonna come in with, I don't know, it's not really a rare pairing. It's just like not the typical thing that the fandom's fighting about. It's not one of the big two. On AO3, there are 148 fics that are tagged as asexual Sam Winchester. And 40 of them, which is not an insignificant amount, are tagged Sastiel, like Sam / Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read quite a few of those, to be honest. It's not really a ship that I ship, but I like the fics.
So what do you like about them? Is it just the relationship that they're having?
Yeah, I think that as much as I am like at the end of the day, like a Destiel shipper, I do think that sometimes Dean and Cass have a little bit too much miscommunication happening, whereas Sam and Cass are better communicators with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like then by the time they have Jack, they're just like co-parenting a child together. They are more productive co-parents than any other like two-way co-parenting in the out of the three of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also just think that like a lot of people also do see Cass as potentially asexual. So I think it makes like put two asexual characters together and have like cute little platonic
especially because they both seem to be like presenting asexuality just a little differently.
Yeah, differently.
And I think that could be interesting for a relationship.
How do you see them presenting it too, Meredith? Like you said, a little differently. How do you see them presenting it?
Sam seems more okay with like sexual relationships and than Cass does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam's also got like a whole lifetime of being a human being, whereas Cass is like, I'm an angel and I don't know what's going on. I don't understand how people work.
And it's entirely possible that like my own feelings towards sex could be like influenced by growing up around a lot of religious people. And so that like our sexualities don't exist in a vacuum. We're all affected by our own life experiences.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But there are some really cute Ace Sam fics out there. So I recommend just like browsing through that tag. But yeah.
I'm curious, do you find that? See, now I want to look this up like on AO3, like across the board, like with the different the different ships and stuff, and just see how much, you know, might be there. So I'm gonna have to do a little digging.
You're gonna have to link me.
Yeah.
Please.
But there are some really cute like Ace Sam and Jess fics, or like Wincest fics. Like there's some cute fics out there.
Yeah.
And there are some fics where Sam is Ace and they have sex. There are fics where Sam is Ace and they don't have sex. Like the spectrum exists, as in all fan fiction.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really nice. There's lots of coming out fics. Sam, there's one, I think I put the link here. Let me see if this is the fic I think it is. but there was a fic that I was looking at the other day where it was Sam did a really good job at explaining his sexuality to Dean. Like he was coming out to Dean and that was pretty much like the whole one shot. And he was doing a really good job at explaining this unfamiliar term to Dean.
Yeah, that certainly wouldn't be part of Dean's lexicon.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Okay, yeah, this is it. This is the fic. It's called Uncomfortable, and the author is Faye Knight, and then brackets Good Girl One Geek 16. It's really sweet. And it's just like a little one shot. It's like 1,800 words. It's nice and short and sweet.
No, I like a one shot to be short. Don't give me a one shot and then it's like 60k words. I'm like, that's not a one shot. That's a fucking that's a novel.
You could have added some chapters.
you could have broken that up. Faye and Knight.
And like Sam does kind of go through all of the partners he'd been with and why they weren't what Dean thought they were.
Interesting. Oh,
I love that for Sam. I do. I fall into demisexual more than I fall into ace spectrum, just because like Meredith was saying, like your sexuality doesn't exist in a vacuum and it is shaped. I've always, from as early as knowing what it meant to like a boy, I always knew that I liked girls in the same way. So it, like that was just like a really formative experience. So I find it really difficult now to try and understand what it must be to feel sexual attraction to only one gender or feel no sexual attraction. So I think my brain is like, we can't make him ace because we have no idea what that is like. We can give him a bit of wiggle room, but we can't say definitively that he's, you know, he's ace back because we don't like what does that feel like?
It is really
but
difficult.
That makes sense. Because it's well, easy also to... demisexuality Sorry, is on the ace spectrum.
Mm.
Yeah, that is not existing as like one thing. It's really difficult to put your mind into any sexuality that's not yours. You can be empathetic to everybody else, but it's really hard to like actually make yourself understand what it must feel like for other people to feel a different level or different type of attraction than you feel.
Yeah, I suppose a different level rather than
How would your brain know? Because you only have your own experience for reference. You can't give your brain an experience it doesn't have.
Well, especially because it's an absence of something that you're very used to feeling.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to figure out like what that absence would feel like.
It's like I wonder what it would be like if I was 6 inches taller than I am. Like, you can kind of guess, but you can't really tell.
Yeah, you could reach the top of the grocery store shelves, though. That'd be helpful. Yeah.
You're like, well, this is what my life might be like if I was 6 inches taller or 6 inches shorter than I am. But you can't really empathize with the struggles that come. Like, you can't really fully understand what that would feel like to be really tall or really short.
Yeah. No, I do think it's interesting to kind of take your own, like, your own worldview and how you experience it and, like, you know, kind of see how it shakes out in these characters that can be anything. What do you make them, you know?
Yeah. In my case, writing characters that do experience sexual attraction has helped a bit because I have all these romance novels to look at.
I feel like the whole realm of written word from, like, the dawn of time has been pretty, like, wow, people are hot.
Well, you get the manual, right? Like, you get the manual, but, like, you might not necessarily know what to, you know, like, you understand the steps and all that stuff. Yeah. And that, you know, that can help to a certain extent. And then it's like, okay, well, again, I keep going back to, and I think you guys talked about it too, like, just the performative aspect of, you know, like, life in general. And I think it's just like learning about yourself. And some people aren't going to get it for quite a while. And
quote unquote figured out that I was bi when I was 20, but, like, also, like, all through growing up I was bi, I just didn't have the words for that, and I was pretending not to be real hard. I was very, very concerned that people did not view me as any different than the rest of them.
Same here. Of course, I already had the practice of, like, being religious and knowing, like, I can't really have any sex or dating until a certain level of, like, conditions have been met, and I was always completely fine with that, and I still am for myself. So I already knew, like, I'm going to live differently than other people. I just didn't know that part of the reason I was so fine with that is because
it was not
a struggle.
yeah there's also this other thing here.
Other people are actively doing something to make this happen, and for you it's just, oh, that is how I feel.
It's like, is this supposed to be difficult? Wow. But this isn't a sacrifice for me. I've got to figure out something else.
Well, that's the thing. That's kind of how I think when they compare Dean and Sam, it's almost like Sam's just like, why? Like,
you
know,
I don't understand why you have to hook up and
every Valentine's Day. Like, you know, there you go. It's like, you know, just go do your thing. And it's like, there's no interest.
And Dean's like, and Dean's like, why do you not feel compelled to do this?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, I would have to actively not do that. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but wonder if Sam went out just for the lols on a Valentine's Day, just like got ready and everything, and Dean was like, "Yes,
brother." Dean doesn't have 100% success rate. Like, it's got to be at least entertaining to watch him try.
Yeah, I don't know. Valentine's Day, people get real desperate about Valentine's Day, though, don't they?
Well, I mean, that's gonna be fun as well. Then, like, to see how,
I don't know, some Tumblr or post or something where they. We've talked about this. It was that post about how sort of Dean is sort of like framed and shot and like made to be like the female, like the in Supernatural. And like, by contrast, you get a different vibe from Sam, and they even like explore that, I think, like in terms of like the sexual situations that they're both in. So I think it's all really interesting. And I love that the characters are like this amalgamation of all like the writers, the directors.
Yeah, but then you sometimes kind of make an argument for this in any direction as to what you think any of these characters are.
But I just find that fascinating too. Like, when you see sort of like all arrows are pointing to this, like there's a reason why all these directors, different directors are doing it this way. And like, you know, it's like, it's interesting. It's just interesting to look at
Sam's
art.
Sam's also so queer coded. I feel like people don't talk about that enough. Like,
talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, this is your platform.
it's literally your platform, but
for the purposes of the day,
let's discuss. That's what we're here for.
Let's discuss.
Dean and Cass are very queer coded. For like, a lot of people have said, like, this is an experience that I shared. This is I identify with this experience that was depicted. But Sam has this very like isolated childhood, even from his own family, mm-hmm. which are the only people he's allowed to interact with, because he feels different from them. And like, that feels like a very queer experience. Yeah. Also like going away to college and like trying to like establish your own identity and then like not fitting back in with your family super smoothly. Just felt very,
but you stop calling me out like this. Like, you're literally calling out like my entire life, and I'm very uncomfortable right now.
And like not meeting like John's, his parents' expectations of what he's going to be when he grows up also feels like a very queer experience.
Yeah.
AJ, please. Very fragile person today. I'm about to cry. No, I'm
kidding. And I feel like, you know, people don't always talk about that because obviously like Dean and like Destiel is a ship and like Wincest is also a ship, but feels like, I feel like Wincest deals with sexuality in like a different way. Like
the focus with Wincest. Yeah, the focus with Wincest tends to be a bit more on the whole taboo brothers
thing. Yeah, the incest thing. And I'm like, not the,
there's a whole other thing that we could focus on, and here, like, if you really wanted to. Yeah.
We've had, I think we talked about this on one of the episodes that we recorded together. I don't remember whose podcast it was. Don't remember when it was.
At this point, it's all a blur.
But one of them, or maybe this was even, maybe this wasn't even on a podcast. Maybe this is offline when we were involved in various fandom drama, but like, a lot of times when those two parts of the fandom clash, like they clash over like Dean's sexuality as though Dean fucking his brother is less gay than him fucking Cass.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's all not straight.
Yeah.
There's different levels of taboo happening. With Sam, obviously there's an incest aspect. With Cass, obviously there's a religious aspect. It's all.
Yeah, there's a lot. Happening. There's a lot happening.
All of it's going on. Pick your trauma. You can write about it.
But then, obviously, because those are like the two like big ships, then like sometimes, like the Sam is kind of left out of the queer coding and supernatural conversation.
Yeah, especially like especially if you're just doing Destiel, I would think that, you know, Sam's just like, okay, I'm over here.
Sam's
like, you
the
know,
straight one.
Yeah.
But it turns out maybe we've decided he's not, and actually he's just existing on this little asexuality spectrum. And that's also part of the queer community.
See, I've always said that an argument could be made for both of them to be bi or pan or, you know, any variation. There within, and my argument for Dean is I just don't see him turning down an opportunity for pleasure. Like, he's very hedonistic. He's very, this is our one night, this is our one shot. You know, why is he going to turn it down just because?
Who cares who it is?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the world's coming to an end.
Like,
the world's coming to an end. We gotta have fun. Yeah.
That like kind of in real life, like, you are the only one who can define your own sexuality.
Yeah.
But on TV, like, it's because of some of the different experiences, like, a lot of people in the queer community share, it's easy. The things that happen on Supernatural kind of lend themselves easily to many different labels and communities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone can win, guys.
Yes. Yeah. You can see it. Yeah. Through whatever lens your life journey has taken you can find that viewpoint. That's what's so great about it. That's why we're still talking about it. Like,
if you think that
4 years later,
if you think that Sam did a crime, I'm gonna fight you. If you say Sam's not ace, I'm not gonna fight you.
yeah and I think that's one of the great things about just fiction and media in general, is that you can find something to represent you in many different characters, and sometimes those things have nothing in common, but they can come from the same character.
It really
would have been nice though if the show hadn't just decided that they were going to throw Castiel with a woman, though, because I think that was a nice, you know, like, nothing on Supernatural is the best representation, but semi-decent representation is better than no representation, I think.
And they could have
they could have stuck with that, and then it obviously would have changed the ending, but I think they could have seen that through.
Unless it's like Meg, anytime they try to force cast with someone just feels like erasure to me.
Yeah.
Meg gets privileges because I love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Meg wrong too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my. Because I Cass was her unicorn, right? Like that's what,
yes.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh. Well, now I'm sad for everybody, but I'm glad that we had a conversation that actually, I see, this is what I like when you can actually just sit down, have a conversation, and I'll be about, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
This yeah. No one's arguing about ships. We're just all like, oh no, this is how I see it, and that's how you see it. And that's great because we find, it's good.
Yeah. Our show is called Supernatural Opinions. So like we have our opinions, and there are times when I think that we're objectively correct, but there are also times where it's like your opinion and my opinion are different, and that's also okay. Mm-hmm. We can have a discussion about it as long as we're not mean.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Exactly. That's the point. As long as you can have a discussion. See, we're just idling in the Impala. We're just hanging out having a chat. So nobody's right or wrong.
Well, I don't, at this point, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of recording. So I want to let you guys head out of the back seat. But is there, where can they find you, KJ, if anybody wants to like hop on board the Supernatural Opinions?
Anywhere that you listen to podcasts, anywhere you're listening to this, you can also find Supernatural Opinions. And then also you can find me on TikTok. I'm at SPN Opinions KJ. I'm on AO3 at Supernatural Opinions KJ, like spelled out.
Okay.
That's like the main places you can find me. I'm at Editing KJ pretty much everywhere else, or double accounts if I have double accounts.
And Meredith, where can people track you down?
I have more practice with this because I have to do it every
episode. I never do it. Mine's pre-recorded and I don't ever have to say it.
If you are interested in finding me, you can do so at Shades of Deianira on Tumblr, Instagram, and sometimes TikTok. And if you go to any of those, you will see lots of really cool drawings for the fantasy series I'm writing.
Yes. They are really cool. I looked them up because we had a break in between recordings and I internet stalked Meredith and they are fucking sweet. So you should definitely go look them up.
I should be really nice and have Meredith pre-record her socials and stop making her say them. But honestly, I make her save them every week so that the guests that we have on have a template. Oh,
that makes sense.
I have mine pre-recorded though.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do it.
We found it real helpful to get a website and then you could just go, please go look at our website and everything you need is there and stop having to say socials out loud.
That's real fucking helpful. It's in the description.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, I want to thank you both. I really do want to try to do another chat again if you think of something interesting that we can talk about.
We're going to be gearing up to record season 5 in the nearish future. We should be done season 4 by, let's see, pretty soon. I think we only have like 5 episodes left of season 4.
Okay.
Maybe 6.
Okay.
So we should be done season 4 by at the end of March. So we'll be looking for season 5 guests. So start thinking about what episodes y'all like. Maybe we'll do a Dean-centric one for you.
No, the next time we should definitely do something Dean. I'll come. I'll help you hold up the little tiny squirrel. Don't worry about it.
Oh my goodness.
I can switch. I'll assist. Yeah.
Little tiny squirrel who is bigger than all of us.
Yeah, I feel like
Thank you, Thank guys. Thank you, Meredith. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. This was really fun.
Right. Cool. You're welcome back anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Okay. Whew, that was a lot.
Tired.
I know you should be. Let's get this outro done. That was a good discussion.
Yeah. That was good.
I really like the insight. I like the thought process. I like where the discussion went. Went through a lot of different areas, much more than I think we had. Yeah.
It's good times.
I want to appreciate KJ and Meredith coming on. And I guess we're gonna wrap this baby up so we can get some rest. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us at idlinginTheImpala@gmail.com. You can comment on Spotify and use the Q&A section to share your thoughts. All our contact details are on our website, idlinginTheImpala.com. Go check it out.
Go check out the website. Yay. There'll probably be like, hopefully there'll be new merch by the time this goes out.
I hope so.
Maybe. I said I was going to do that in January, didn't I? And then I didn't. Oh, my. Please don't forget to like, comment, share, follow, and subscribe wherever you access your podcast, but especially if you are watching or listening on YouTube. That kind of engagement really helps us with the YouTube algorithm. All hail its benevolence. As always, in the description are the causes that we are championing at the moment. So links from me are two charities, one UK-based and one US-based. Both are LGBTQ plus talking charities. So they are places where you can reach out to talk to somebody, reach out if you are in crisis or if you just need some support and, you know, you don't have anybody around you in real life, as is so often the case. That is what they are there for. From Sandra, we have some mental health charities that are there, and RAIN as well is there for survivors of rape and sexual abuse and things like that. So again, both kind of talking charities, both kind of like, you know, reach out if you need to just connect with someone, if you're in crisis, if you just need some support and it isn't available to you, you know, like in real life, that is what they are there for. Also from Sandra, we have American Civil Liberties and vote.gov. I can't remember the gov came at the end this time. So as we know, it's officially 2024. By the time this episode goes out, we'll be fairly beefy into 2024 as well. So it's an election year. Yay, everybody. So yay. Fucking excited. Mm-hmm. I still think we in the UK might be having an election in May. I really need to look at that.
Okay. Yeah.
But it won't be over that weekend because it's never on a weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Sandra has provided those links. Keep yourself appraised, updated, informed. Know what you need to do in your state, in your area, in your county, in your town, in your whatever the hell it breaks down to. Make sure you know the voting process. Make sure you know what ID you need, anything else that you need. Make sure you bring water because it's illegal to give you any if you have to stand in line for 8 hours, which is fucking stupid, by the way. It's a very stressful election year, of course. There's a lot riding on this, guys. So keep yourself as informed as possible. You know, get registered early, vote early, make sure your voice is heard. You know, just try and keep ahead of any and all shenanigans that will inevitably come. Republicans, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Republicans, right wings, you know, they'll try and fuck this up. They always do. So remember, in the immortal words of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, it's a jump to the left, not a step to the right. All right, that's not actually the lyrics, but I'm paraphrasing. It's a jump to the left, guys. Vote blue. Blue, 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 blue. We don't even care what blue it is at this point. Just fucking blue. Like, we'll deal with it afterwards. Just don't let him back in the White House, please. Like, with the rest of the world is watching going, oh, fuck. You know? So, pretty please. And then it is, I know that this episode won't be out for a few months yet, so I can confidently say it is ours, sincere hope that by the time this episode reaches your ears, these links won't be needed. But at time of recording in the middle of January, they very much are. So we are championing, highlighting, spotlight, any other adjective that means drawing attention to, you know, hit me up if you know any new ones. I don't want to go on the thesaurus website. Like, it's tired of me. It's had enough of my bullshit. It's tired of me looking for words that mean black, that aren't black. It's done with me. It's done with me. It's sick of being a pinned tab, guys. So we are drawing attention to these charities, which are World Central Kitchen and Doctors Without Borders, both of whom are on the ground working with people who are in the Ukraine, who are still very much affected by Russia's unlawful invasion of the Ukraine and the war that is going on there. And also on the ground in Gaza, helping people that are significantly affected by the conflict between Israel and Hamas. I never know whether to call it a war or a conflict, because Israel declared war, but then I don't like, is it a war? I don't know. I should probably look that up. But so we'll go with conflict for now, okay? And this is not political, guys. I honestly could not give a fuck which side of the line you fall on this, you know, who you think is in the right. It's humanitarian. There are people in the Ukraine and in Gaza that are starving, that are dying, that are trapped, that cannot escape. People who are in Gaza at the moment cannot leave. They cannot escape. Okay. There are still parts of the Ukraine where people are trapped. They literally cannot leave and they are starving and they are dying. This is humanitarian. I don't give a shit about politics here. So, as the name suggests, World Central Kitchen, helping with food. Doctors Without Borders, helping with medical care. We have practiced what we preach, and Idling and the Impala has made donations to both of those charities. We're not asking you to donate. We're just asking you to draw attention to them. So if you can donate to World Central Kitchen or Doctors Without Borders or any of the other charities that we champion, you know, keep helping them help others. That's amazing. But, you know, just sharing links on social media, just drawing attention to this does so much good. It doesn't have to be about money. You know, please don't feel obligated to financially donate. if you don't have the means, there are so many other ways to show support. But, you know, if you can keep helping them help others in any manner, that would be so amazing. And of course, if you need help from any of the charities that we've listed in the description, that is what they are there for. Please reach out to them. You know, that's the whole reason that I go through this every episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with that, we will say thank you to KJ and Meredith for joining us. That was a fucking kick-ass discussion. And either we'll be back on their podcast or they'll be back on our podcast soon. We're podcast buddies now. It's cute. Thank you for joining us in the backseat. And we will see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.